If you have your Bibles this morning, we want you to turn with us, please, to the book of Romans, in chapter number 15. Romans chapter number 15 is where we'll be looking in the scripture today. We appreciate families that are visiting with us today, and pray you'll feel at home in the Lord's house. We pray that the Lord will speak to our hearts this morning from this passage of scripture. I'd like to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me." If you'll go with me over to the verse number 20, I'll pick up in verse number 20. The Bible said, "Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain." Our text this morning is going to be found in verse 29. Listen very carefully. We're going to take verse 29 and try to build the entire chapter 15, around the phrase that jumped out at me in verse 29. He said, I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. That's the phrase that jumped out at me as I was reading and studying, the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus' sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." I want to talk about the fullness of the blessing today in the gospel of Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you today for the privilege to read the Bible. Thank you for the Apostle Paul. Thank you, Lord, for the change that you made in his life. Lord, I thank you for the change that you made in my life. I thank you, Lord, for the changes that you're still making. I thank you, Lord, that one day the change will be final. We'll be like you. We'll be with you. And Lord, what a blessing that's going to be. Until then, Lord, we know that you have a purpose in us being here. And God, that your grace is sufficient. And we pray, Lord, today that you'll take us and use us to be a blessing to these dear people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I was thinking this morning early God already having put in my heart what I would be preaching about the fullness of the blessing. And I was thinking about the car that the church got for me a few years ago. And it's got some gadgets on it that I'm not used to. One of the gadgets on it, it popped up this morning, 54 miles to empty. Okay. I thought, well, praise God, I can make it to church anyway. Amen. 54 miles to empty. It wasn't long after that I was having a little discussion with Miss Eve until something went beep. And there was a little alarm that looks like a gas pump trying to tell me something, I believe. Amen. My dad, when I was young, he used to say this to me. He'd say, son, check the oil. He said, the gas will check itself. Amen. In other words, you can run a car without oil and tear it up, but you're not going to tear it up running it without gas. It's just not going to happen. Amen. And so this morning I was thinking about the fullness. And the Bible uses these words. It says to examine yourselves. And I don't think that you should be sitting there this morning examining me. And I don't think I should be standing here today examining you. But I believe it would be healthy for each one of us to look in the mirror of God's Word and try to see where our spiritual gauge is. See if it's leaning towards quarter of a tank, or leaning towards half a tank, or leaning towards three quarters of a tank. But the Apostle Paul, how many would say with me and agree with me every time you see him? It's a blessing to examine his life. It doesn't matter if he's enduring a shipwreck. It doesn't matter if he's left outside the city having been stoned and they thought he was dead, but God caught him up into the third heaven. Amen. It doesn't matter what he's facing or what he's enduring. It just seems to me like that every time you examine his life, there's a blessing to be found in that examination of his life. And I believe the blessing is there because of the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ that was manifested in his life. And I'd like to look at some things today, if I could, and just see some things in the chapter that would help us to maybe understand why the needle is leaning the way it's leaning in our life. If it's leaning down there towards 54 miles to empty, down there to where, and I do thank God that there's a person called the Holy Spirit. Every once in a while, Brother Lance, there'll be an alarm come on in our life. And let us know, amen, that we're not where we ought to be in our walk with God, and not where we ought to be in our life as a Christian. And I believe that's a wonderful thing, that God would love us so much to not let us run out. Amen. And I believe a lot of times, I'll say this, I guess it's been probably a month ago, and it wasn't on purpose. It was because of busyness. It goes back to that lesson, Brother Brian. I mean, that alarm had come on, and I'd already been to church, and already been home, already been back to the hospital. And I was headed home that last time, and I said, I better just see how many miles I have to empty. And it said 1 mile to empty. Thank God I was a half a mile from the gas station. Amen. I pulled in there and filled her up. Amen. In other words, sometimes we just get so busy in life that we're not paying attention to the alarms, and we're not really thinking about how close we are, amen, in our lives to make a shipwreck. The Apostle Paul talked about the fullness of the blessing. I want to say this by way of introduction, and then we'll get right into the first thing in the message today. There was two words that
that I thought about, and they rhyme. The word thriving and the word surviving. How many believes God desires for His people to thrive? Not just to survive, amen. Not just survival mode. But God desires, you say, preacher, where do you get that? Well, the Bible uses phrases like joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Bible says not, to be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. The Bible uses phrases that encourage us, that you know, the Bible doesn't want us, Paul the Apostle, he said, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was not a man that was just content to survive the Christian life. He wanted to thrive in the Christian life. Beloved, I believe that's where the fullness of the blessing comes in. God wants us to thrive on this journey. Some, I'm not being mean. I've had seasons like this in my life. But some are just enduring the journey. But honey, we ought to be enjoying the journey. We're somebody, we're going somewhere, and we may get there today. And we ought to go with joy in our heart and be thriving in the load and the work that God has called us to do. Let me get into the first point in the message. Look at these first three verses here. We're going to go through this entire chapter. Don't get too nervous. We'll use tonight's service as well. I can already see that. But I want to go through the chapter and talk about the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. The first thing in the message, how can you see it, preacher? How can we get an indication of where maybe the needle is in our life? The first thing I want you to see is found in these first few verses. He said, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. I want to say this. It's seen in the load that we share. It's seen in the load that we share. He said to preacher, this is not making any sense. You're telling me that if I want my needle to be moved more towards full, then there needs to be a willingness in my heart and in my life to share in someone else's load. That is exactly what I'm telling you. A lot of people, listen to me, they live their life and all they ever want to do is unload. They don't want to share in somebody else's load. They don't want to take on somebody else's burden. You see, listen, this man is full of the blessing of the gospel of Christ and at the same time saying, I could wish myself a curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen. He has a heavy burden for the Jew. He has a heavy burden for the Gentile. He has a burden for the saints in Jerusalem. He's just carrying a load, and with the load comes a blessing. He said, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. You don't have to look very far to see someone that's weaker than you are. To see a load that can be picked up and carried. I do believe that the Bible teaches there are burdens that you and I should share, and there are burdens that you and I should bear. I believe that. Amen. I don't believe every burden is to be shared. It was a happy day in my life as a pastor when I realized that God had burdens for me to carry that He didn't even want my wife to know about, that He didn't call her to pastor the church, that it was me that was to bear some of those burdens and bear that load. Early in the ministry, I unloaded, Brother Steve, everything, amen, and just shared everything with my wife. And it didn't take me long to find out that wasn't good. There were some things I needed to bear up under. I believe the same thing in a home. I believe sometimes things are shared with children that don't need to be shared with children. I'm going back to my childhood. And listen, when there's burdens sometimes, let the kids be kids. Mom and dad, carry the burden. Amen. But there are burdens to be shared. There are burdens that we can help someone else bear. Let me see. I want to give you some things here. We have strength to excel in sharing the load. You say, preacher, the Bible said, we then that are strong. The Bible said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I believe a person that is walking in the fullness of the blessing of Christ, that he has a strength that this world knows not of. Amen. I believe David, when he walked out there in the valley with Goliath, he had a strength that Goliath didn't know anything about. It was with the God of heaven. And Paul, many times in his life, was willing to share the load with others. The Bible said, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. We have the thing of others and the strength to excel. We have a Savior for our example in sharing the load. Look in verse number 3 here. The Bible said, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Jesus was forever taking up someone else's burden. And my friend, listen, experiencing the fullness of the blessing. The needle was not down towards 54 miles to empty with an alarm going off that you're about to run out. But thank God, listen, Jesus, he went into the wilderness full of the Holy Ghost. He come out of the wilderness full of the Holy Ghost. And I believe with all of my heart, he went to Calvary carrying your load and carrying my load. And there's where the fullness of the blessing is. He's our example. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible said the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Jesus carried a load to Gethsemane. You see, you say, preacher, what do you mean? Listen to me just a minute. At Gethsemane, the Bible said that he was in such agony that his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. The medical field has proven that it's possible for a man to be in such agony that the pores of his skin will actually open up and blood would come forth. I believe that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he's praying to the Father, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. His disciples are asleep. And let me just say this, in this generation, many of his disciples are still asleep. They don't know what's going on in the country. They don't know what's going on in the churches. They don't know what's going on in the spiritual realm and the battle that's being wrought every day. But beloved, Jesus in Gethsemane was carrying a load. You say, preacher, what was he facing? He was facing separation from his Father. He was facing that time when the heavens would go black. And he would cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was carrying a load that no one in this world has ever carried. No one ever could. He went there to Gethsemane carrying a load. He went to Golgotha carrying a load. You say, preacher, what kind of load was he carrying to the cross? I'll tell you, he was carrying the sin of the whole world. And I tell you something right now, that's a blessing. It really is. But let me tell you when the blessing gets really big. When you look at him and you don't just realize that he's carrying the sin of the whole world, but he's carrying my sin. He's carrying my faults. He's carrying my failures. He's carrying that would have taken me straight to hell. He's carrying that to Calvary. Why? So that you and I could experience the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. How that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. The fullness of the blessing. It's seen in the load that we share. He carried that load all the way to the grave. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible said, John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away. Jesus died so I might live. Jesus took my load to Calvary. So that, Brother Steve, that night in 1987 when I knelt at an old-fashioned altar under a load that I've never experienced before in my life. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm telling you, honey, when sin becomes exceeding sinful, you won't need anybody to tell you what's going on. It's a load like you've never had on you before. But thank God there was one that could take that load off because he had already been to Calvary and paid the price that he might take that load. It's seen in the load that we share. I don't say this hatefully, but if we're not willing to help with somebody else's load, we will never experience the fullness of the blessing. Matter of fact, I don't believe that if we're serious about it, that it's going to be enough just to go through life and say, well, Lord, if you got somebody that needs a little help carrying their load, just, you know, just let them come along one day. No, I believe we ought to get before the Lord and say, oh God, God, you saved me. God, I'm on my way to heaven. God, there's a lot of people in this world carrying a heavy load. Lord, would you help me to find somebody that I might come alongside and help them bear their load? Sometimes all people need is a kind word. Sometimes all they need is a listening ear. I don't know how many times I sat down and somebody said, Pastor, you've helped me so much. I didn't say anything. It just helps sometimes to know that somebody cares. And you'll come along and help bear that load. The fullness of the blessing. You know, that sounds great. But when you get into examining what's required, sometimes people run the other way. And they say, well, I'll just run the rest of my race on a quarter of a tank. I'll just run the rest of my race on a half a tank. Well, the alarm's on, but if I don't run plumb out, it'll be all right. Oh, I'll tell you something right now. Joy is spelled J-O-Y. I believe in the acrostic, it's fitting. J would stand for Jesus first. Zero, the O would stand for others. And then the Y would stand for yourself. If our lives are lived in that order, there's joy. There's the fullness of the blessing. There's looking for somebody else that we might bear their load. Seen in the load we share. We have the strength to excel in sharing the load. We have the Savior for our example in sharing the load. And then thirdly, we have the Scripture for our exhortation in sharing the load. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look what the Bible said in verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Let me ask you something. When you read the Bible, Brother Larry, when you read the Bible, do you get the message from the Bible that says, Larry, you just go live your life for Larry? The Scriptures don't exhort us to live for ourselves. The Scriptures exhort us. Ye then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. The Scriptures exhort us to love one another, to forgive one another, to forbear one another. I believe the Scriptures exhort us to care one for another. But listen, I believe it's important to understand this is not something. One man used to say this with Rock of Ages lots of times. I would preach and and I'm not saying this in a braggadocious way, but this man had a saying that I've never heard. He said, is that something you come up with, or is that something God come down with? Well, I have a simple test for that. If it's something that a man gets when he's looking in that Bible right there, it ain't something that a man come up with. It's something that God come down with. God left us a Bible so we wouldn't ruin our lives, living our lives for ourselves, that we could have the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. I'm glad the Bible came down, aren't you? I'm glad holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I'm glad we have a record that's real, a record that's trustworthy, a record that the Word of God said is forever settled in heaven. Thank Him for the Bible. It's seed in the load we share. Let me give you the second thing in the message this morning, the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. It's not only seen in the load we share. If we're looking for a way, you know, listen to me carefully. I hesitate sometimes to say things, but I believe sometimes God wants to make things real to us. Listen to me. A while ago, when an announcement was made about food for a family, were you looking for a way to get into that, or were you looking for a way to get out of that? I'm going to bring it down where we live. I'm going to tell you something right now. If we're always looking for a way to get out, say, well, somebody else will do it. Well, they got plenty. They don't need me. I'll tell you right now, that attitude will never experience the fullness of the blessing. I tell you what, an attitude. You say, well, preacher, what if they got way too much? I tell you what, Sister Jennifer put it on the back burner. There'll be another time that we need food. Amen. Listen, maybe she might have to say to somebody this time, we've got plenty this time. See me the next time. There's always going to be a need. An offering is taken up on Wednesday night to expand the missions program. Are we looking for a way to get into that? Are we looking for a way to get out of that? I'm just telling you, friend of mine, listen, I'm not fussing. It takes all of us. We're the body of Christ. But if you want to experience the fullness of the blessing, it's not going to be from running from what's going on. It's going to come from running to what's going on for the glory of God. I don't know how it's going. I haven't spoken. I'm just taking a little time out right here. I haven't spoken to Brother Brian. I haven't spoken to the Wednesday Night Warriors workers, Brother Brian. But announcements have been made and pleas have been made that maybe we could have just a couple a Wednesday night. And if we had eight couples, then you'd only have to work every eighth Wednesday night. I don't know how that's going. You know, but listen, if you hear things like that and you're looking for a way to get out of it, you'll never experience the fullness of the blessing of Christ. You ought to be looking for a way to get right in the middle of it. I want my Wednesday night. I don't want to be cheated out of a blessing. Years ago, I believe we're going to have to shut it down right here. We're not going to go any further. Years ago, I was standing in the vestibule of the Landmark Baptist Church. A little lady on a fixed income. And I'd say it was very fixed. What I mean was she didn't have much. She held out $2, Brother Steve. And she said, preacher, I want you to put this on your radio broadcast. And I refused it, Brother Ralph. I said, honey, listen, the radio broadcast is taken care of. We've got that. You know, God's taking care of that. And Actually, God wasn't taking care of it. I was. How many knows what I just said? But God was given to me that I was able to take care of that. Well, my pastor saw the whole thing go down. He didn't embarrass me in front of her. But he got me off to the side when it was all said and done. He said, "Do you know what you just did?" I said, "What?" I mean, he was serious. He said, "Do you have any idea what you just did?" I said, "Preach, I don't know what you're talking about." He said, "Sister so-and-so, you refused to take that money for the broadcast." He said, "Do you know what you just did?" I said, "No, preacher, I mean, by this time, I'm kind of like the kid in school. Amen. He's the principal and got the paddle. I thought he was fixing to whack me." I said, "Pastor, I don't know." He said, "You just robbed that woman of a blessing." And I believe here's why the Holy Ghost brought this to my mind. I didn't plan on saying this. You say, "Preacher, what was she? What kind of woman was she?" I'll tell you what kind of woman she was. She was the full of God. Amen. I mean, she had the fullness of the blessing every day of her life. But listen to me. You say, "Preacher, why?" Because she was willing. She didn't have much, but she wanted to share in somebody else's load. How many knows what I'm talking about? I'm telling you, friend of mine, listen, God wants us to understand that there's a pathway, there's an avenue, there's a road to the fullness of the blessings. And it begins in this chapter with a willingness to share in somebody else's load. When we go down to the hospital and see someone, when we go to the nursing home, when we go to someone's home, there's people hurting everywhere. There's people everywhere that need somebody to come alongside, that need somebody to help, that need somebody to share in their load. And I believe with all of my heart this morning, the Apostle Paul was not just walking through life thinking, "Well, if somebody's load comes along, I'll help them what I can." No. The Apostle Paul lived his life looking for somebody. You say, "Preacher, what kind of load are you talking about?" Could be all kinds. Could be a spiritual load. Could be somebody that now just at a... How many's ever been at a spiritual low ebb? Answer me. I mean, you're just... You're saved, you're as saved as you ever will be, but you were just low. But somebody come along and said, "Brother, how you doing?" Somebody come along and showed a little interest. It could be finances. It could be spiritual. It could be a family matter. But let me tell you this. Our town's full of people, Brother Randy, that are carrying a load of sin. They really don't need someone to step up on their back and put a little more pressure on. They need someone to come alongside and tell them about the one that'll take that whole mess away. Give them a brand new start in life. Forgive them. I was thinking about Wednesday night a while back. I told some of the folks after church, one of the main points in the message, I didn't write it down and I forgot it. I just simply forgot that point in the message, and it was something that was so bearing on my heart that it applies right here. The great men in the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, even Moses. Moses said, "Lord, don't blot them out. If you're going to blot anybody out, blot me out of thy book." How many remembers that? What's Moses doing in that situation? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's sharing in the load. Isaiah's sharing in the load. You know, what would it be, my friend, listen, to have a president, a leader in this country that would share in the load that this country's carrying. Let me give you this. But there come a day. There come a day when Moses no longer saw that he was one of them. As long as Moses was talking about us, it was one thing. But there come a day when Moses stood before a rock. God told Moses to speak to the rock the second time. The first time he told him to smite the rock. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Well, in typology, that rock was Christ. Christ was only to be smitten once for all. And so the second time Moses, they were without water in the wilderness, and Moses was instructed of God to speak to the rock. And the Word of God said that Moses smote the rock the second time. Here's what he said. Hear now, ye rebels. See it? No longer us in one group. It's you rebels and me over here. Hear now, ye rebels. Must we, me and Aaron, fetch you water from the rock? See that wall, that separation? At that moment in time, Moses had backed up. And Moses was no longer bearing their burden. It happens all the time. I'll tell you something right now. If this preacher ever forgets that it's us, it's not me and you all. It's us. Did you hear what I said? You see, when he said, "Hear now, you rebels," I believe God was looking down from heaven and thinking something like this. You know, Moses, right now, you're the biggest rebel I'm looking at. You didn't do what I told you to do. How many knows what it cost Moses? He was able to look over into the promised land, but was no longer able to go because of an unwillingness to share in the load. He was not identifying with God's people. Beloved, listen to me this morning. Moses, time after time after time after time, you see Moses, you see the Apostle Paul, you see many other men in the Bible experiencing the fullness of the blessing. But let me say this. When we get in ourselves, when we stop living our lives for others, stop looking for others to help, beloved, the needle's going to swiftly fall. Be like that old Chevrolet truck that I used to drive. I drove it to Maryland one time to see Miss Eve when I lived in Virginia. You could run that thing. It had a 4-barrel quadrajet carburetor on it. How many of you men know what I just said? You could run that thing, Brother Gary, right against them 4 barrels, just 2 barrels wide open. Honey, it gets some of the best mileage you ever seen. Zoom! Right on up. But when you heard it go, you could watch the gas gauge. I mean, coming down in our lives. When we've got the pedal to the metal for ourselves and no room for others, the fullness of the blessing is coming down swiftly. Amen. In our church, many, many families have children. Children take time. I know they do. They take attention. But don't let the children take all your time. Don't let them take all of your attention. Be sure you have time for somebody else's children. Somebody else's children may not even have anyone to care for them and to share in their load. The fullness of the blessing. We'll come back tonight. Look at some more in this chapter, but it begins with a willingness to share in someone else's load. How many know somebody today that's carrying a heavy load? Let me say this and I'm done. I'm trying my best to quit. One of the ways we can share in somebody else's load. Brother Brian, when you're taking prayer requests and sharing prayer requests with the church, one of the ways we could maybe take a note and carry them to the throne of God. We got folks facing surgery this week. We got folks that's told that they're not able to have surgery, that need surgery. We've got folks that are going to be finding out from tests in a week or so. One of the ways we can share, they may not even know it down here, but we can sure carry them to the throne of grace in prayer and pray for them, and in so doing, share in their load. I'm just glad you come this morning. Brother Ralph, get us a verse of a song. Let's bow together. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to open the Bible and to preach the Bible. Lord, I'm so glad we have a Savior that set the example for us. He wasn't going through life for himself. He was going through life looking for someone else to help. Lord, I know that it takes the Holy Spirit to make the Word of God real to us. And I pray that in this message, Lord, you've made the Word real to us. Help us not to live unto ourselves. You actually, Lord, already told us no man lives unto himself or dies unto himself. Help us, Lord, to experience the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ.